If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, today I'm joined by George Azar, writer, proud homosexual and ex-pastor at Exodus Ministries, which leads me to today's trigger warning. This episode is George's experiences with conversion therapy, so it might not be for everyone. However, spoiler warning, it does have a happy ending. If you'd rather not listen to this episode, you could go and watch But I'm a Cheerleader, which George references in this episode, and it's an excellent silly gay queer fun film. Right, let's get started.
This is Probably True, stories of queer life and even queerer sex. Please be aware that this podcast contains strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
The first time I, quote unquote, acted out on my homosexuality, it was when I was 20 years old. I was still in the church. I kind of had this like fall away period, if you will, like where I was partying, but I still had my gay thoughts and no one really knew anything about it. So I decided when I was visiting family to go to an adult store in my hometown. Because I knew that they were like they were really famous for like the materials that they had. They had a lot of videos, and I knew that they had a video store in the back where you can watch videos and stuff. So I remember putting on my hoodie and just kind of putting my head down and walking in for the first time and just being like assaulted by dildos on one side of the wall and all these different, you know, lubricants and all that. Didn't know what any of those things were, to be honest. And so I pretended to like peruse the shop and just kind of see what was there and peeked my head back into the video room. And it was like super dark and stuff. Eventually I ended up going into the video room and they had these booths, like, almost like confessional booths where they had curtains and such. So I just like popped into one of them and I closed the curtain and the screen was right in front of me, but to the left of it at crotch height was a hole. And I had no idea what that was for. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And so I ended up perusing the videos. At first, I was like looking at like the straight selection. And I was like, come on, you're by yourself. No one knows you're here. So I ended up looking at the gay section and found a film and put my money in and started watching it. It was very exhilarating. Prior to that, I'd been looking at gay porn in secret just by myself and stuff. So, but this was the first time like in public where, you know, I could expose myself and enjoy it. So it was exhilarating on so many levels. Like the film was great. The ambiance was great. The feelings were great. So yeah, I definitely was enjoying it. And it was scary for me because I was like, well, wait a second. Like, you know, this is just confirmation. But I kind of put that in the back of my head, that fear and that worry, if you will, and just started to, again, just partake into the film. So no, it was a very pleasurable experience all around. And then all of a sudden, I heard some other people outside. So I looked out through the curtain and I saw two shadowy figures. And I immediately popped my head back in. I was like, oh, crap. And moments later, I saw a penis come through that hole.
If I was wearing my pearls, I would clutch them.
Tight grip.
I mean, that's however, whatever works for you. But yeah, sure. Like,
yeah. So it came through, and I literally was like, it was a deer in headlights. I was like, what do I do with this? Like, it was just there. And so I just got down on my knees and started performing oral on this guy.
You're a natural. And easy. Yeah.
I was like, this is what I do with it? And so literally 30 seconds into it, I was panicked. Like, I had been panicking from the get-go. Like, this was like, what are you doing? This is so stupid. Oh my God, this is going too far. You didn't agree to this, da, da, da. Or we didn't agree to this or whatever. And so 30 seconds into it, I literally freaked out. I stopped. I ran, put my pants on, ran out of the room, and literally bolted out of that shop like I had stolen something. You know, it was just so, so jarring for me. And so then the next moment I got in my truck and I was like literally just berating myself. I was like, you're such an idiot. What the fuck? Like, you couldn't control yourself. You're Jesus is going to heal you from this. And this just made it harder. You know, all of this, like just self-loathing, self-deprecation. So I ended up driving to the local pharmacy and I didn't know what to do. So I bought a bottle of rubbing alcohol and I just rinsed my mouth out with it like a couple times. Yeah, it was so fucking crazy. Straight to rubbing alcohol because it was like, you know, it was going to detoxify it. But then there was also this like sadist side of me where I was just like, you don't deserve anything better. This is your punishment. It's kind of like a, you know, mom rinsing a kid's mouth out with water. That was my version of it because I just felt so much shame for what I had just done.
Having had this moment of weakness in massive quotes, what was your thinking after that? Were you thinking about it when you fantasized or when you were masturbating? Were you like, oh, that actually felt really good? Or did you kind of block it out? Were you in denial? Like, how did you deal?
So being in the church, there were justifications like for every sinful action we did or whatever. And so for me, it was more of a block out. Like it was very much like that didn't happen. Jesus has forgiven you. So you can move on. You don't have to think about the past. And anytime it would come up, I would just like, I would try to change the thought. It was never this pleasurable moment for me. It was seared in my memory as this shameful thing. Like there was nothing pleasurable about it. There was nothing. So it kind of put a damper on the entire experience because it was just very much, it was explained away that this was a result of my quote unquote old nature. There's your old nature and your new nature. And your old nature is your sinful nature. It was before Christ. And your new nature is in Christ and your identity is now wrapped up in him and it has nothing to do with who you are. Like it has everything to do with repentance and forgiveness and love of Christ because he washed away your sins. So I really tried to clothe myself in that second identity. So anytime that thought would come back into my mind, I would be like, oh, it's Satan. It's the devil. He's trying to either tempt me or make me feel shame. You know, it was like, I found these ways to be able to justify why those thoughts were coming back into my mind and blame something else other than just embracing that moment and really going through it. For me, it was more of a traumatic incident than it was a pleasurable incident. And so the way that I justified that was just as I justified my new nature, I was able to then justify the reasons for why it was coming back. And it was strictly the devil.
So you had the devil's dick in your mouth.
I had the devil's dick in my mouth.
And then Jesus washed your mouth out with rubbing alcohol.
Exactly.
Of the two, I know which way I'm leaning in that particular scenario, but never mind.
Look, now, yes, absolutely. So that was in October. Then December of that same year, a group of us from college ended up driving up to the Bay Area and do New Year's up there. It was also my 21st birthday. And so kind of what I mentioned earlier, like I was, you know, partying in high school. I still had my faith, but I wasn't plugged into a church and quote unquote fallen back or whatever. But I still kept to the principles of my faith. And so we went up to San Francisco, had my 21st birthday the day before. I was a blacked out mess. Like it was just so interesting. So then the next night we ended up just got belligerently drunk. It was crazy. So I ended up separating from the group, got onto the BART and ended up going to the Castro district.
Purely by accident, of course. I mean,
clearly,
who hasn't stumbled onto public transport, fallen off drunk right. In the gayest area in the country? It happens to all of us occasionally.
all of us. Yeah, it's no big deal. It's I can now blame it on public transit.
And Satan.
And Satan. Satan was the driver of that BART that night.
I mean, public transport and Satan are very often found together. So anyway, you're very drunk. You've stumbled off the BART into the Castro, the big gay space in San Francisco.
Yeah, so I remember I texted someone that I knew there. And so we ended up going to gay bars and stuff. And that was literally my first experience. But like, there was this internal conflict where I was like, okay, I'm enjoying this. But then in the back of my head, I'm like, this is the enemy. He's trying to lure you in, da, 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 all that.
Was your friend gay? Did he? Okay. And so did he know that you were wrestling with these things or that you wanted to see these things? Or was he just like, oh, he's in town. I'll take him to some bars that I know that are fun.
He knew that I was gay, but I was, you know, denying it vehemently. It was always his mission to, like, quote unquote, convert me, if you will. Like, that's how I saw it, because I was trying to convert him to Christianity. But, you know, there were times where I was tempted with him in the sense that, like, I thought he was handsome, but I knew that I had to be a quote unquote good witness, so I couldn't do anything or anything like that. I know, it was so boring. So when I text him, I could tell he was like, this guy clearly wants to see something. So nothing actually happened at the bars, but what happened was after we left, I ended up responding to the group because they're like, where are you? Where did you go? Like, oh my God, we're so concerned about you. I didn't care. I was very focused on getting what I wanted, you know, pursuing my sin. So I told them, like, I'm so sorry. I'm on my way back. I found a club or whatever, da, da, da. So when I got on the BART, I noticed this, you know, that feeling when someone's looking at you and they have eyes on you. I felt that. And so I looked up to my right and there was this guy sitting there and he was like giving me these really, really like intense eyes. And so I like looked at him and then I looked down real quick. And then I was still curious. So I looked up again and he was getting off at the next stop. And so he like got up and then he like called me to him. I was like, okay. And so I ended up following him. I don't remember if we had any conversation or whatever, but we ended up going back to his hotel. He walked into his room and the people that he was with were already there, passed out. So I suggested we go to the stairway. So we ended up going to the stairway and same thing. He dropped his pants. I partook in 30 seconds. And then all of a sudden I felt all this guilt and shame and ended up leaving and he tried to grab me. He's like, where are you going? I was like, I gotta go. I just gotta go. He tried to like chase after me and I wasn't having any of it. So I ended up just like literally bolting and just got onto the BART. And it was just another one of those, like, what were you doing? What are you thinking? The self-beratement. And so, yeah, that became the catalyst for me to go back to my faith. Like I knew that I was in a dire situation, that pursuing my homosexuality, and if it wouldn't be too long until the enemy already grabbed me and, you know, and I was a full homosexual. So it was horrible. It was really like the first two experiences were trauma induced, not in and of themselves, but the beliefs I had about myself going into those.
The romantic in me is curious. Was there any kissing or anything with this second guy? Because obviously, like, you could see all of him. It wasn't just a cock in a hole. So was there a bit of a smooch and that kind of thing before he dropped his pants? Or was it just straight to it?
I think it was just straight to it. I don't think there was any foreplay whatsoever. Like, it was just like, this is what we're doing. At least that's what I remember.
How did you feel in the bars back in San Francisco?
Like, I felt good in the sense of, like, it was exhilarating. Like, it was like, oh my God, this is, everybody's free. They're, you know, having fun. They're dancing. But that was soon squandered by the indoctrination that I had. So it was very much like, these people are lost. They are, you know, playing into Satan's playbook. They're deceived. They're all this. So there was this like dual nature in me that was just like, you know, I guess we could go back to the old nature and the new nature, where it was very much like the old nature was thoroughly enjoying this. Like it was like to be free and to express themselves and all of that. And there were no go-go dancers. So it wasn't like initially like erotically aroused. I mean, being in the moment, it was very arousing. Just seeing people there, just being themselves and all of that. In hindsight, it was too much for me in that moment because I had not done the work to deconstruct my faith. So going into that situation and dropped down all of the guards and put me in a place of, this is sinful, this is not right. With my evolved version now, it would have been enjoyable. But for who I was back then, and the internal struggle of never really coming out, and then also being indoctrinated to believe that homosexuality was one of the most despicable sins, it really put a damper on that enjoyment.
I was wondering whether you'd gone somewhere with Go-Go Boys and you were just kind of like, no, I mustn't look, but I want to. But no, I mustn't, but I want to, but I won't.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Are you tired of listening to the same playlists over and over again? Are you ready for something new? Discover the latest music from LGBTQIA musicians on Homoground. There's so much music ready for you to devour, like this song by Carl X. What are you waiting for? Visit homoground.com or search Homoground on your favorite podcast app. Same ground, different sound. You're on Homoground.
Back to your story. So you'd accidentally tripped and fallen onto two different erect penises.
Yes.
And both times had decided that this was not the life for you were a good Christian, pious, Jesus-loving individual.
Yep.
So did you feel you had to atone again for the second round of knob gobbling?
Yes. And unfortunately, my sister would be the brunt of that. So my sister was with us on that trip. I remember we were driving back and I took it as an opportunity to proselytize to her. And I was just like, you know, Jesus can help heal you. But, and I just went into this whole thing for like an hour. And I think that was my way of like atoning for what I had done. It was kind of like, you know, like, well, we'll make up for this by, you know, proselytizing. And she didn't deserve that day. So I was trying to make up for lost ground. So I did have the self-beratement and all of that, but it really was a turning point for me in that I knew that I needed to get right with God. I was like, these two acts happening so close together they're me acting out. And I justified it by, I wasn't in fellowship because I wasn't in a church. I wasn't reading my Bible. So I wasn't doing my devotionals and all that and staying close to God and all of that. Shame. It was all shame. Like there was no love whatsoever in any of it. It was all about preserving my Christianity. Those two moments were turning points, and it really actually brought me to the church that I ended up becoming a pastor at, Exodus Ministries. So Exodus was a ex-gay ministry. It pretty much was a conversion therapy organization. I ended up going to their national conference, found other people that were like me. And so that kind of like sealed the deal for me where it was like, okay, there are other people like me. I'm not the only one struggling with this. And others have been healed from this. Famously, the CEO was married and had kids and was knee deep into the gay lifestyle. On his knees deep. Yeah.
How did you not just end up making out with all of them? I think I would have just been like, yes, we're all very tortured.
It was the big conference. They give their introduction, all of that. Then we were brought into our own like group. So based off of our struggles. So I was relegated to the young guys group. It was so funny because everyone at the table, you could tell it was very much like, have you watched But I'm a Cheerleader? I recently watched it and I was like, oh my God, this was Exodus Ministries. Everybody was like in a group and stuff. And like, you could tell guys were locking eyes on each other. And I fell for the leader of our group.
Of course you did. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Like, go straight to the top. Like, you know.
In every sense.
He was so sexy. He was just so sweet. He was compassionate. He had lived experience, which I basically didn't. From him, like, I learned a lot. It was a lot of garbage, but it was just garbage that he was reverberating based off of his own experience. I formed an emotional bond with this guy too, because he had taught me something and all of that. Anyway, as the days went on, you could tell the guys who hooked up with each other. I remember actually one guy feeling like really crappy, and he was like, yeah, I stumbled and da da da. And I was like, oh, of course you did. I know exactly who I was with and stuff. So yeah, it was very much like, but I'm a cheerleader. It was cruisy, but it was in the context of, this isn't who I am. It was so weird.
Did you end up making out with your hot leader top guy?
Unfortunately, no. He was pretty set in his ways. He had experienced the lifestyle. He had a boyfriend. And so he ended up leaving the sinful lifestyle to pursue godliness and all that. So he was pretty locked in. We stayed in touch after the conference. I noticed like months after it, he ended up going back into the homosexual lifestyle. And so I ended up unfriending him because I didn't want it to be a temptation for me. I actually reactivated my MySpace just to see if I could find the pictures with him tagged in it. That was like in the last 6 months. I want to see if he's still out there. I want to know what he's up to. I couldn't find him. Hopefully he's listening to this podcast and he'll know where to find me. Fingers crossed.
Did you come away from Exodus feeling better about yourself in any way, or did it just not stick?
It actually gave fuel to my fire to heal from my homosexuality, because that's where I learned the term same-sex attraction. So for me, it was very much, oh, this is different than who I am. I am not gay. I am a straight man who struggles with same-sex attraction. The other thing was I learned about conversion therapy. And so for me, like, you know, I had this amazing experience at the conference. I was learning so much. I learned that my homosexuality could be healed and all that. So it really gave me power to then press on even further in coming out to the people at my church, to get prayer, have accountability, to be able to have some sort of protection against these desires that I had. I remember leaving the conference and having like a post-conference depression, because like I was on this high. I was around people that were just like me, who were trying to get healed, all of that. And so I just dove right into conversion therapy, did that for a while. And then once I felt like I had the tools and enough, I ended up stopping that and would just practice the practices of conversion therapy by like wearing a rubber band around my wrist and flicking it every time I had a gay thought, which is like a dumbed down version of shock therapy. The Exodus experience put my desires on steroids. It was just like, I'm going to heal myself from this. This is not who I am. It became very toxic.
And so it put the shame desires on, rather than the accepting and loving yourself for being a homosexual. It was all of the bad stuff.
Exactly. Because it gave me tools. That's the thing. I mean, they were broken tools. They were tools that didn't work, but they were tools nonetheless, because it aligned with my worldview of the time. So it was very much like, oh, this is the explanation of it. And it's why I'm very much a vehement supporter of banning conversion therapy, because I've experienced its harmful effects. It is a fucked up way of treating people. And it's abuse. It really is abuse, especially for children. It's child abuse. A lot of the shit that I've had to unpack in coming into my sexuality was dealing with all of these ideas that were instilled in me from conversion therapy.
How did you break free? How did you become the glorious, gorgeous gay person we see in front of us? How did that happen?
It was years. Because like, as I started to climb up the church leadership ranks, I had become an usher, and then I was overseeing some ministries. And then all of a sudden, over the course of years, then I became the outreach pastor. And so the more that I climbed up, the more control there was. Being gay was not the issue that actually broke the camel's back. To them, it was perceived I had it under control. They ended up fixing me up with this woman for 8 months, and it was a total disaster. And I wrote about that, but it was just horrible. as I started to get higher and higher up the leadership, the senior pastor became more controlling. And so he would just, all these different rules, like the music I could listen to, who I could hang out with, where I could hang out, what I can consume, like all these things, they were just so fucking controlling. And the final thing that broke the camel's back was related around my education. Anyway, long story short, I was attending their Bible school. It wasn't accredited, was looking for an accredited degree, ended up telling the pastor this because education has always been important to me. He was very reluctant about it, but I told him it was kind of my ultimatum. Like it was like either that or I leave. And so he allowed me to go down this path. And so, you know, months of searching, finally came across Liberty University. They had an online course. It was accredited, it aligned with our doctrinal beliefs. He ended up saying yes to it at the initial, but then followed up with an email. And that's when I lost my shit. Saw his email, said 15 minutes, your office, went to his office, told him everything, told him how I'd been looking at gay porn for the last 4 years, how he claimed to care for me, but he never did. And all those examples. Ended up leaving the church, moved back home, got plugged into my old church, started doing Bible courses and all of that. And it was a slow, steady trickle. Like there was a paper I did that I got a failing grade on because it didn't align with their doctrinal beliefs, which then revealed to me the bullshit about doctrine and the Bible and all of that. And then I started to do a deep dive into homosexuality in the Bible. And literally, I could have a PhD on this subject. I tore this thing apart. I was still under the context of a conservative approach, but I knew that the way that the church handled homosexuality did not equate to the biblical context. And so I did this deep dive and found out that homosexuality was never in the Bible. It was translated from the original word, you know, sodomy. And then so I make this argument that, well, if sodomy is bad, then that means that heterosexuality should be banned as well, like homosexuality is, because also heterosexuals practice sodomy. And so it was like the slow, steady trickle. And it wasn't until I actually moved to LA that, you know, I came out, I ended up started dating, I left the faith, I had years of night terrors and all of that. But through this process of just healing and going through therapy and defining my new belief system and all of that, I was able to rise from the ashes, if you will, which then ended up becoming the inspiration for writing my story. It was a very long, drawn out process, but I look back on it with so much admiration and so much inspiration that, like, I wouldn't have changed a thing because it's made me the person that I am today and who I will continue to be. It took years for me to reconstruct my faith. So I deconstructed when the term deconstruction wasn't a thing. And it was a lot of pain and rebuilding a new belief system, and therapy and energy work really helped me with that. I would say my current belief now, if we were to put it into a box, it would be agnosticism. And I always tell people my religion is astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy, because the more that I study the depths of space, the more that I become comforted with the unknown, where before there was so much fear of the unknown, which kept me really dependent upon that belief system of control. Now it's like the unknown is, I look forward to it and I love studying about it and like the new discoveries, and I love hearing other people's perspectives and what their beliefs are, as long as they're not absolute. That's kind of my belief system.
You've mentioned your book a couple of times, so I suppose we should get on and plug it. Tell us about your book, babes.
Yeah, so it's called My Gay Church Days. It's a story of my time as a closeted evangelical pastor. And it really was birthed out of a desire to help other people heal from traumatic incidences. And so it just outlines my story. And I do have some anecdotal chapters in there as well. It's been an amazing journey. It was birthed out of my own struggles with the pandemic and getting re-addicted to opioids. And, you know, that was an addiction I had in college. And so it, you know, finding a healthy release from that was really just getting my story out on paper and helping others just understand that they're not crazy. They're not alone. There's someone here who has experienced the same crazy shit that they have.
So if there was anyone out there trying to reconcile their naughty, evil, sinful sexuality with the good and true and obviously, evidently true teachings of organized religion, do you have any advice or what would you suggest to them? I mean, no pressure, you know.
No, I know, right? I would say if you have to be in a group that accepts you based on certain conditions, it's probably not the right group for you. That's ultimately what it came down, was that me staying in the church meant that I had to compromise my integrity and who I was as a person. Sin aside, I was not able to be freely myself. And so what that created was a psychological dysmorphia, in that I hated myself. I despised myself. And that was reinforced by the ideas of salvation, of them saying you're a dirty, rotten sinner, desperately wicked, not worthy of anything good. That is a form of a power dynamic. They are trying to conform you into the image of their community and using an ancient book that supposedly is absolute to keep you subservient. That is the whole point of religion. That is how religion originated. So if you are struggling with this group, if you are struggling with the ideals about yourself that you have been told are unnatural, but they feel like the most natural thing to you, leave. Find a group that accepts you for who you are, not who they want you to become. I'm very accessible, like on Instagram. Reach out to me, DM me. I love talking to people like this. I believe it or not, there's quite a few people that have been in those situations that have reached out to me, and I absolutely love it. You can find me on at My Gay Church Days. DM me. I would love to talk to you if you're listening and you've been questioning and wondering.
That was Probably True, the multi-award-winning storytelling podcast created to remind all of our queer siblings that we are none of us alone. If you like what you heard and you want me to keep doing it, you can support the show at patreon.com/probablytrue.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.